Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
World we live in. I'm very happy to share this hour with you, and this time around, I'm the only one here if we don't have somebody to ask me questions today. So what I've done as best as I can is to try and remember some of the questions that have come in from listeners, from our email list, which is quite substantial, and they come in from all over the world. And so I'll be addressing those to the best of my ability, and this might be the format from now on, if it works, so your questions are very important to us, and you are very welcome to ask the good, the bad, and the ugly. We try and address all of the above. So let us begin with the very often asked question that has to do with the issue of fidelity in relationships. And I have actually had just a series of female questions. My beloved sisters have been asking and saying, what can be done cosmically for partners of destiny? A, to find each other, to stay true to one another, especially in the light of the fact that there is so much temptation out there, if you will. And interestingly enough, one of my students is a family attorney down in Los Angeles, and he has said, he has two practices there, he has said that the number one reason that he finds for divorces is internet infidelity. In other words, infidelity in all its forms has become just so much easier because it can be done in the privacy of one's study without anyone really even realizing that it's happening. And because it feels distant, people feel that there is not necessarily accountability associated with it. Very similar to a situation with aggression that humanity has had to deal with. When humanity had the weapons at its disposal that enabled it to damage from a distance, a lot of the braking systems that any species has to have mindless aggression take place was overridden. In other words, we have situations where under normal circumstances, when in nature, there are braking systems, both in issues of relationship and in issues of aggression. When those braking mechanisms have an override by it becoming distanced from the facts, then we have some difficulties. And in the case of internet sex, relationships, there's a whole virtual reality out there where people buy land and so on and go into a world of their own. And one would think that those people, having gotten away from the real world where they might find so much imperfection, would go in there and create something higher. But the interesting thing of it is that that's not the case. They have instead gone in there and had the vices of the earth in a realm where they can do them without having guilt and overriding their braking systems. In the case of species out there, it is not the gentle species that have the strongest braking system. For instance, pigeons will peck each other to death. If there's a bit of blood on one of them, they all start pecking. They have no braking system, and it's an incredibly cruel way for them to kill one of their own. Lion, on the other side, knows its strength, knows its ability to inflict injury, and has that braking system. They don't torture their prey to death. They, in fact, choke the air out of him, and then they use the carcass, but they don't have that kind of, I almost want to say the word inhumane, but cruel aspect to themselves that the more gentle animals like a chicken would have. So they have a strong braking system because they have a strong ability for aggression. Man has overridden that. Everything in the cosmos has been done by the Infinite Mother and Father to remove the need for aggression. Aggression and assertiveness are not the same. Now, what has Mother going to do and what has she done is the question now coming in from my sisters. There were two or three of them that wrote in 1 week. What can be done when we love one another, but my husband seems tempted by women at work that go after married men, etc., etc.? Mother, in fact, created an extraordinary remedy for that exact problem. About 2 weeks ago, Mother placed a frequency in the root chakra of human beings and, in fact, all species. Now, if you remember, opposite frequencies attract. Opposite light attracts. And so what we have is that Mother has created the opposite frequency to the partner of destiny. So in other words, if there's a correct partner for this person, they're going to have opposite frequencies, and it's going to be in the root chakra. She's done that so that partners of destiny can have their attraction for one another strengthened to increase that override ability. In other words, they just won't find anything else that attractive. So that is a major, major assistance to us to avoid the temptations that are out there. But my brothers and sisters, I do need to just add this piece. Nobody can fill holes for you, no matter if they are your partner of destiny, unless those holes are filled from within. In other words, let's take a little look at this. Unless you are parenting your own inner child, that inner child will have self-centered, because the child is self-centered at 5 years old, and that is about the age of our inner children, but it will have a very self-centered nature to it. So somebody that is in other areas very mature could be very self-centered and want and need and give me and take care of my needs in a relationship with a partner of destiny because of a basic hole inside, a basic gap that they themselves need to fill. Everyone needs to parent their own child. We cannot let the busyness of life crowd that out. It is imperative. So, please do take the time for deep, meaningful living. There is a tendency in the increased activity that we've had in our world, there is a tendency to live very shallowly, meaning that if we have had a loss, we don't take the time to grieve. We rush into the next thing that will possibly and hopefully fill the gap, and that is a sure way to create an internal dialogue. When we have an internal dialogue, we also don't always know what we feel. And thus, we may be abusive to or unfaithful to the very partner of destiny that we have been fortunate enough to pull into our life because we're not aware of what our heart feels. At all times, it is so that the master leads through life not with their head, but with their brain. And so those are key points to having successful relationships. There are those who don't want to be fully committed, yet they end up in marriages. it's not the marriage one needs to commit to. It's yourself. And when you are true to yourself, when your own being has become your sustenance, when your own being has, in fact, become your home, it's only then that you can judge whether the partner you are with is worthy of giving your best to, and if that is not the case, that is not a path with heart, and you need to start to create some situation in which you can leave it. Only be with someone if they are a path with heart, but you won't know that till you have found the balance within, and certainly the subpersonalities is a very, very good beginning. So my beloved light family, let's take a little break, and right after it we'll be back.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness. The state of no longer identifying with the ego in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer and in the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We have quite a few questions about the increase that people are feeling in the deaths around them. Many light workers have written, why are so many of my friends dying? Why are so many of them making the transition? It seems to be on the increase, and you have in fact said, Almeen, that death has come to an end. Now, we have in our past shows quite clearly explain how and why death as an actuality has ceased to exist. But why would someone choose to die when they are a high spirit? Why would they put themselves in that situation? Well, my brothers and sisters, we have lost a lot of species. And why that has been the case, and we've lost populations within species, why that has been the case is a very interesting thing. You see, part of the story of the fall, and, you know, I once asked the Father, I did not know that the Father, where he was, who he was, until August. I had worked primarily with the Mother, and during the years from 2005 to August of 2007, the only gods I encountered were imposters posing as the God of Truth. The real Father, the God of Truth, I did not encounter until August of 2007. And at that time, I asked him to please tell me some of the primary causes of the fall. And they were absolutely fascinating. But he was quite clear about it. He said to me, and this is leading into why people would still choose to have death. He said to me that the fall has so many multiple layers. He said, what layer is it that you want me to give the answer from? And I said, from the highest layer, and what are the three, therefore, most prevalent causes of the fall? He said, I will give them to you, but the answer will change tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, because he says we are still uncovering reasons of why such a dissension happened, that the mother of all life, as you can read in The Gift of the Unicorns, actually entered into her creations, into the screen, if you will, interacting with them, and actually went deeply into dissension, forgetting more and more and more and more of her glory. It was a way to study the details. The threads were separated of the tapestry, namely duality, so that this could be studied. But there were aspects of the mother. Now, an aspect is not a real mother. An aspect is a reflection of the real mother, much like someone standing between two mirrors that can see themselves going on forever and ever. These aspects of the mother, they were feminine to her more proactive nature, because what she wanted to do was to bring her children home. She wanted to bring us out of the screen. It's for that reason and out of deep love that she entered into the screen. So Mother did, in fact, ask the aspects if they will remind her that when she got into deep dissension, where life had multiplied, because you see, at the bottom of dissension, the purpose of life was to turn the unknown into the known through experience. It was the life's purpose of every species, to turn the unknown into the known through experience. But the multiplication of beings, making as many beings as Mother has, is usually part of dissension. Then, during ascension, she stops diversifying. She stops making new species. And so she stops making new individuations, because it takes a tremendous amount of energy to continue to do that. So during descension, life becomes more complex, and then during ascension, it goes into oneness. So Mother had asked the aspects to tell her when she went into deep descension. It actually happened that the aspects completely did not keep their contracts. Now, there were multiple reasons for that. One of them is that they went into such a deep passivity, because Mother's activity level had to be enhanced, because the descension went into deeper levels than what had been anticipated, for multiple reasons. But the point is that Mother continued to create, even as she brought us out of the ascension. She continued to create more and more and more and more species, carrying that ascension on her back and expending the energy to continue to create what should only have been done during descension. It was only in 2007 that Mother actually, and I mean the ascension had been going on basically out of the deep, deep layers for eons of time. the earthly ascension that I have been part of started at the end of January, beginning February 2005. Literally the last day of January is when it started. So, my brothers and sisters, a lot of beings that are not supposed to be here have already perished. Some of those beings had their bodies stay behind because of the fact that there was unfinished business. There was maybe a wife and six kids, and the man hadn't taken out life insurance, but he had not earned the right to live as we went higher. So, you see, because Mother had less energy to create these beings when she was down in a state of forgetfulness, she continued to create. Beings did not have as high a consciousness as they should have had if she had created fewer beings and the cosmos had fewer beings during the ascension. So, number one, some beings should not have been here. And they did perish. Some beings did perish, but their bodies went through the motions because there was unfinished business. So that's a second category of people that leave. Now, there's a third category of people that leave, and they are very few. There are some instances where perpetrators created perpetrators. Some of the dark gods that did not, that did not have to continue to represent that illusion after the illusion was solved on that very auspicious date that I've mentioned so often in August of 2006. Anyone playing representative of illusion had the choice to step off the treadmill. If they chose not to, in some instances, those beings created themselves into other beings on Earth. They created others that were perpetrators on their behalf on Earth to do as much damage as they can to keep humanity from leaving its old realms and ascending and pulling all of creation behind it. Because they knew if that happened and it was successful, because we had tried many times before, that it would be the end of their reign. So they created some beings. So now we not only have those who should have left and did, but those who should have left and their bodies continued a while longer, but we have those who had absolutely no right to be created in the first place. When there's masculine creation that is not done with love, beings are created that have no feeling bodies. So in those instances, some of those beings are still walking around as holograms. A hologram is different than an actual body that soul has basically left and is just going through the motions. That is not even a real body, but people won't notice it because, again, in some instances there is unfinished business. But you can touch it, feel it, all the rest of it. So there's that category, and as their unfinished business is completed, those holograms will leave. They are the other reason why people choose to die or why death occurs, as we're going to cover now the whole range of all of it, okay? So the next thing that we have is that people, when the cosmos is ascending, the mother has basically gotten rid of the dross, I would say to the 99%. And that's, don't quote me on that one, that's just my estimation. But there is 1% left. She has done everything because people have come so far that are here right now. They've come so far through eons and eons of descension, ascension cycles, and for them as individuations within the cosmos to still exist. Because see, so far, everything we've spoken about, when those beings die, there is nothing left. because the soul has already been disintegrated into the ocean of consciousness because it was not life-enhancing enough to be where we are currently. We are, oh, my brothers and sisters, you have no idea how much higher the earth is right now than it was in, say, January of 2005. Mother has sent me back there, and when that occurs, when I am in the presence of density, sometimes when I am on the phone with you, or as for me it's the phone, for you it's the internet, but when I'm on the phone with you, when I can hardly speak or I'm coughing, it's because my lungs have clear fluid in them that I got because I was on some mission for Mother into density. If you were to go back to the earth as it really is, or was, in 2004, say, you would think you've gone to hell. That's why people have no idea how far we've come. So at this point, Mother is doing everything she can that no more beings have to perish. But the reason we have flown like this is that those that are truly deserving of life are here on Earth right now. Now, why would people then still choose to die? Number one, of those who choose to die but would go to the spirit world and at some point become physical again, one way or the other, and we can certainly discuss that, but the reason that that would happen is that there is a major leap ahead for them because the cosmos has just, in the last month, done massive leaps in consciousness. So if a being sees that they are not quite ready to do that jump, death is, in fact, a purification rite. And if, for example, let's say they've been on drugs a lot, they've been alcoholics a lot, that stifles growth. And the measured growth of any organism has to match the opportunities that's been given to it. Let me explain what I mean. If Mother clears major density out of the cosmos, if she breaks up old stale pattern, disintegrates them on Earth, and we don't even notice that life is different, that we no longer need, say, aggression. We can use assertion. We can be assertive, but gentle and kind. We can say what we need to. We can stand firm on it, but we deal with the principles. We don't attack people. We're not aggressive. If we don't understand that aggression has actually been removed as a frequency in the cosmos, because we're steeped in drugs or alcohol or whatever it is, we could definitely end up lagging behind the growth of the cosmos. When we use substances that numb us to life, we are not going to notice how profoundly it has changed. If we don't take time for the deep, meaningful living we discussed earlier, same thing. If we can just take 20 minutes each day of just being with ourselves, being in silence, my brothers and sisters, a profound difference will be made because we'll be able to feel and hear and see from the depths of our heart. Because constant activity, constant noise from televisions, it's very counterproductive to noticing and utilizing the great gifts that the ascension is bringing to every creature. If we fall behind, a kickstart to kick us up to the next level is death. Hence, because massive changes have made, a lot of people have died recently. Obviously, I don't know statistics, but it stands for me to absolute reason, and that is the question that's been asked by several people in emails. Now, there is a last reason of why people die. It is the expectations of others, the social conditioning of our life that we seem to not be able to break free from. We seem to think that it's inevitable. incredible. Social conditioning is the greatest imprisonment that there is. Others expect people to grow old, so they grow old. Others have taught them that when you're such and such age, you know, be careful, take out life insurance here, take out insurance for your funeral. It is not necessary. Age has nothing to do with dying. We don't need to age. Age means there's a loss of energy because there's opposition to life, or there are belief systems forcing us over the edge of a cliff. Let's take a few minutes break, and we'll look a little more carefully at social conditioning when we get back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almine at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We've discussed a bit about social conditioning, and I just want to finish up with a topic before we take a look at some of your other questions. And I want to quote, actually, out of The Ring of Truth. And then after that, I will give you to the best of my ability, what I have done to get rid of social conditioning. And it is an ongoing process. So social conditioning, the programming inflicted on beings from birth, is the greatest bondage in existence. It dictates how life should be lived and tries to put life into labeled boxes, reducing the great adventure of the discovery of self to mediocrity and boredom. Social conditioning is the attempt by man to hold on to what he thinks of as sanity. He fears he might lose all frame of reference to his own identity within the vastness of existence. To let go of all social conditioning will eliminate identity, but it is not the loss of identity that is madness, but rather having identity in the first place. When we let go of our conditioned identity, we find the expansiveness of our awareness. Within this expanse, we play many roles. Identifying with any of them is the attempt to put the ocean in a bucket. To avoid social conditioning, the warrior questions everything and observes the origin of his every decision and action. In this way, he sees whether they originate from the authentic wellspring of his soul or from the fixation on a worldview imposed by others. My brothers and sisters, one of the issues that I want to discuss with you. You see, many things are in a body. Many, many different levels of consciousness. In the past, we were brushing shoulders with the arch demons of the cosmos, not just in our underworld that we used to call hell, etc., that we used to have. No, in the cosmos. They incarnated among the major light workers. They did as much damage as they could. In some instances, they won their confidence, etc. But the point is that we couldn't see the difference. Nor can we see the difference. Right now among us, there are those who have moved into the God kingdom. Life is forever altered for them. There are those who have gone into the ascended mastery levels. I know. When we gather for what we very loosely term my classes, there's a gathering of those. And these beautiful masters are the, quote, students in the classes, and I learn so much from them. My brothers and sisters, we can hardly ever see behind the facade of the flesh. When somebody comes to us and gives us their viewpoint, programs us to see life a certain way, just because they're sure of themselves doesn't make it right. Look, most of the nation followed somebody like Hitler. The incorrectness of his theories or his ideologies was so blatant, but he was so sure of himself and he was so passionately emphatic, something that is often mistaken for truth. I will tell you, those that wish to persuade, they watch for those hollow spots within that we have discussed, because they utilize them to manipulate. The German people had suffered a defeat in First World War. They still had not fully recovered their dignity and their pride within. That hollow spot was what the perpetrator preyed on. We have no idea whose belief systems we are adopting as true and right. It could be somebody that is literally millions of times less light than you are. Those of you that listen to this, those of you that are attracted by words like these, you are some of the major light showers on earth today. Do not for one second think that there are many of you. I do not speak to the masses. Mother has sent me with a mission. Collect the masters. My brothers and sisters, your heart gives you your next step. Don't try and find meaning to the big picture. Find the clarity of your next step. Not through social conditioning, but through your heart. Many people think of fire as hot. Well, fourth dimensional fire is light. We have long since surpassed the fourth dimension. You know, in days when I thought that if I did certain signs that people would understand better because it would disconnect their left brain, I used to indicate it to them. I used to wash my hands in a fire as easily as I would wash it in water. I see it as light. They see it as heat. You know, I don't do that anymore. Besides, it's bad for the nail polish. But the point of the matter is, the belief system that fire is hot is only that. That ice or being in the snow has to be cold. It's when we resist the fire, it is when we resist the cold, that it becomes what we expect. So be absolutely aware where your choices originate from. My brothers and sisters, there is only one choice in the cosmos. What is life enhancing and what is not? And what is it that knows the difference? Not really the brain, because the brain deals with the known. when you have to choose something, clearly it's an unknown. Because even if you were confronted with a similar choice a month ago, nothing stays the same. We've gone up so many levels in awareness since a month ago. The laws pertaining to what you're choosing might have changed. You might be a healer, expecting to always find certain colors at some point or another on the body chakras. If you will go to my website, I had my office put that up. It's especially for our Belvaspata practitioners. What has happened to the chakra system? Incredibly exciting things. Don't expect that because you knew something yesterday, that you know the answer today. Go with your heart. My brothers and sisters, let us take a look at a very subtle form of social conditioning, which is this issue of personal identity. If you look at personal identity that you have, you will be looking at that which is a filter between yourself and pure feelings. Let's look at the subtle ways that that can be social conditioned into us. What is beautiful and what is not? The attitude of a model that smokes a lot and drinks coffee a lot to be able to stay a size 0 or a size 1 might be totally unhealthy body, but by the time the layers of the makeup have come on, and the big one is the hype, it's the attitude of that model of I'm on top of the world. Meantime, they could be in total agony because they're not getting the proper nutrition, and their body could be filled with acidosis, which is a burning in the muscles like rheumatism. But, you know, to us, they are the epitome of beauty because the magazines make them like that. Train your eyes to see beauty through the heart. Then you are not going to see ugliness in somebody else because they have more rounded hips or they have a little belly or they have this or that or the other. My brothers and sisters, beauty will get a new definition. I had a sister, she was so precious to me. I was in Ohio. She came up to me and she held my hand and looked deep in my eyes. She said, Almeen, when I read your first book, which is A Life of Miracles, in the area where you were asking Mother, and I remember this now, whether you were beautiful too, because everybody around you was so beautiful to you. So how would you know if you were beautiful? Because you see, my brothers and sisters, just to explain this a bit, you can certainly read what happened because it was a little miracle story that I told in A Life of Miracles. But when you're a candle in the sun, how do you know what light is? And I just saw such beauty in people that if I truly looked at them, it would bring tears to my eyes. So I had no frame of reference to know if I was beautiful too. And she asked me, she said, you know, it's so sad to me that you couldn't see your own beauty. And it isn't that, it's that I could see everybody else's so profoundly that I had no way of gauging. And so the point I'm trying to make about this is, in fact, that we need to train our eyes to look in a way that sees beauty in others. And that is worth inspiring us to be to develop it in ourselves. It's not finding the beauty that is the standard handed to us by the world. If somebody is going to throw it off, if we're going to throw off the shackles of what the media tells us makes us eligible or successful or beautiful, my brothers and sisters, if it's not the light workers to do that, who then will it be? We are it. I had a very beautiful brother. He lives apparently in the Pyrenees, but he is from Holland, and he came to Ireland to be with the Ascended Masters there during one of my classes. And he was speaking about not eating the the meat that is produced on the shelves in the stores because of how mindlessly and disrespectfully those animals are treated. And it's not anything I want to do to tell people what they should and shouldn't eat or how they should and shouldn't make their choices. My goal is to produce the principles behind it, and within the correct framework, they do it themselves. But he said those words. He said, if it doesn't begin with us, who will it begin with? I have a little girl. You know, I teach her that her body is not subject to what she eats. She can eat anything. Health is the result of her mindset. It's the result of her attitudes. But at the same time, if she buys these blue gumballs with their horrible chemicals in them, she is endorsing the industry that makes other children sick. So, you know, consider that. And we're going to take a commercial break, and then we'll be back.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the interrelationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
There seems to be a lot of surprise when people hear that even in ascended mastery, that the body could signal you with aches and pains and those sorts of things, that something needs to be changed. They wonder why it is that the more subtle changes don't register first, and why it is necessary to actually go that far, that that a master would have to manifest something like that. Now, let's take a look at how detailed the body language of pain really is. Again, in the Ring of Truth, we show the body parts in the symbols of dreams. That's also the same body parts symbol us in daily life, because we have said this often, that to become literate in reading our environment, the same symbols that you read in your environment, also you read in the dream time, but also in addition to that, will manifest if it is a physical symptom. In other words, let's say you see an image of somebody with a hurt left-hand thumb. And it stands out on your environment like you need to know something about it. Well, if you get it right away and you are literate in reading these signs, then you don't need to hurt your thumb. But life will try again a little harder, so that night you dream about injuring your thumb in a door. But you don't take the time to write down your dreams in the morning. You don't take the time to listen to the messages that are given to you in the night as to what is your next step to get, so you don't even remember that you dreamt it. So finally, it filters through into physicality. And so in physicality, then again, you have to now injure the left-hand thumb to understand that there is a problem with partners of destiny or with relationship or issues with loyalty. And that is what that thumb stands for. So as you can see, body truth doesn't have to happen that painfully. It can be something like, oops, I almost cut my right thumb. Okay, well, am I going to sit down and get what it's trying to say to me, or do I now next time really have to do it? So it only happens when we don't live at the pace that life is indicating to us. What is our next step? In other words, we might say, oh, I want to get to that tomorrow. Well, if it was tomorrow's work, it would have manifested there tomorrow. So take the time to listen to your environment, and then these things don't have to happen. An example, I'll use myself here, and definitely do not do as I did. I, first of all, lost a smallish thing, not something important, but lost a smallish thing for a few minutes. Then I found it in the hotel room on my way on an airplane to Oregon. In the hotel room, I thought I lost it, but, oh, I found it. But that's not normal for me because I'm on automatic pilot. So I do things automatically without thought, and when I do that, I generally don't make mistakes like that. So I should have gotten it then. I should have taken the time to get it then. See, the mistake we make is when signs are subtle, we might think they're not important, but I didn't. Well, I had something extraordinary with me in a long mailing tube. It's a massive, huge rose, massive as in 3 foot by 3 foot, rose that took me days to draw with these beautiful symbols on. And the beautiful symbols on it are the symbols that are the symbols for the brain, so the brain can awaken to higher function. It also happens to be the symbols for the libraries, because the libraries are laid out like the human brain. And so it's magnificent. I left it on the airplane. We have been trying to get it and haven't been able to do that. But fortunately, I was covered. When I drew that, the students or the masters that were in my class used cell phones to photograph it. Some of them had like a camcorder that they on their phone that they did it with. Some have just the ordinary cell phone capacity. Apparently there are two types. I don't know about that. But it was, they filmed the rose because they noticed that when they filmed it, that the rose was pulsing. And as the hours went by after its completion, it started, I did it in black and white, of course, black ink on white paper, but it started to become purple. And then it started to get more colors. And by the next day, even more colors had come in it, something only visible when they filmed it with their phones and their camcorders. So everybody had covered me, and I actually did have, now I do have the ability to get that rose. But I lost something sacred. Huge, big sign. But Mother had given me 600 Anunnaki gods that I had to call, that had to be there because of the libraries that didn't have custodians that were opening. They had to be positioned in those libraries as their custodians. So 600 gods later on the plane trip, that I had to call their names over and over in my seat very softly to myself, of course, but it had to be done in the physical. I was just wanted to sit by myself for 20 minutes as the plane landed on the other end of the flight. And I didn't bother to see, you know, what those signs meant because I had left it on the first leg of my flight. So it went a little harder. Next I knew, my briefcase, which always has my handwritten manuscript in it, and I had for about 3 months been handwriting the day-by-day events that happened, and I had a manuscript that had no copy anywhere in that briefcase. The night before I took it out, my wallet and passport is usually in my briefcase. I took it out. I just happened to have a purse large enough to put those into. The next day, my briefcase was stolen. My window was smashed in the car. In the 10 minutes that we put it in there, locked the car, and went upstairs to get my suitcases to bring it down to the car because I'd stayed overnight because the plane was delayed. So my briefcase had to be stolen. It got progressively stronger because I didn't listen to the very first whisper to see what it was telling me. And what this was telling me, now let's look at these dream symbols. A window that's smashed, it has to do with damage to vision or perception. Windows mean that. Loss of the sacred is what happened on the airplane. What was left in my briefcase is a manuscript, most sacred, with Mother's revelations on it, but it's one that my office already was in the process of typing. The sacred was being stolen. Damage was being done through vision. Violence in movies. No violence in movies. Thank you for joining me.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Almeen. Please join us again next week.